It is now 8:13 in the morning on Mid-Columbia today, and we have with us on the telephone Washington State Senator, 17th District, Paul Harris, joining us from Olympia. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning, Mark. How you doing?
All right, how are you doing today?
Really good. Today's cutoff day up here, so it's a great day.
Hey, anything you're watching in particular?
Just the budgets. I mean, the governor yesterday kind of blew a hole in the budget. So I think that's probably the major topic that people are talking about right now.
And that's where I was going to go to here. I guess just your general thoughts on what's transpired over the last 4 or 5 days. We've seen the House and Senate pass their budgets. Democrats, the majority in both chambers. Bob Ferguson, Democrat governor, certainly more conservative as a governor than his predecessor, Jay Inslee, is in terms of fiscal policy. And he basically said he won't sign these. I think we've seen this coming, haven't we?
I was on his transition team. I was one of two Republicans that was put on his transition team. He is, you know, what's interesting is he has said this all along. He has said that, and I think everyone thought he might blink or might change his position, but he has not. He's stayed true to what he has said from the beginning of coming into office here. He has said that we could not tax our way out of this problem and that he would not do that. And he has stayed true to that. So I just think that the controlling party hasn't listened to their leader. He's been very, very clear on this from day one.
And basically what this comes down to is he has said he doesn't want to use some of the taxes that have been proposed here. I guess, you know, obviously, you know, you're kind of sitting almost on the outside on this. I hate to say it for a senator, but that's kind of where it is right now. How do you suspect that this is going to start to play out?
Someone's going to blink. So I believe the governor's actually in his position on the wealth tax is very accurate. And during my campaign, I said the same thing. The capital gains tax in our state, which was implemented probably 4 years ago, I'd have to look exactly, but the first year did great. The second year, we got half of what we got the very first year. And the third year, we got half of what we got the second. So if you follow me, we're down to about 25 to 20% of what we originally got. Mm-hmm. Five countries have tried this wealth tax that we're going to implement, and it hasn't worked and this is what he's saying. In the five countries that tried it, none of them still have it because it didn't work. Why would we try this? And it's the largest... It's our largest item in our budget for increases for taxes. So it shoots a hole of about $4.5 to $5 billion.
Mm-hmm. What I think was a point of his remarks yesterday was what he did mention in what I saw was you know, that if they wanted to try this and make it, I think the number he used was $100 million, which sounds like a lot, but in the context of this, it's not. That if you wanted to try and see if it meets muster legally, and again, he was the attorney general, and he was he was an aggressive attorney general, by the way. I think we all know that. You know, and see if it meets legal muster. He would go along with that. Let's just, you know, see what happens. But obviously, that's a far cry from the billions that have been earmarked for this.
Absolutely, and I just appreciate his pragmatism on looking at how it's worked in other places and actually how the capital gains tax has worked. And I really believe that if we were just to pass this the way it's been drafted, that I'd be called back into session next year because we're going to have a big budget deficit. It's not going to bring in what they think it's going to bring in.
Yeah, I am not, by any stretch of the imagination, an international tax law expert. But why has this not worked in other places? I mean, we have some case studies here. And, of course, part of this is, you know, it's hard maybe necessarily to look at tax systems in different places and make perfect correlations here. But is there any sort of common thread as to why this doesn't work?
It's the same as our capital gains tax in many ways. These are the uber wealthy that live in our state. Most of them have more than one home. So if you're going to tax me $2 million to live in your state for over 50% of the time, I'm most likely not going to spend 50% of your time in your beautiful state.
Well,
I mean, these are very smart people. I mean, they became wealthy because they're hardworking, and they're going to abide by the law, but they're going to look at the law and figure it out.
See, the other part is I would think, you know, to be honest, is they can afford better tax accountants than you and I. and they become experts in these laws. The people they hire.
Absolutely.
And they're hired to figure out a way to minimize their liability, to put it nicely.
Well, it's just really an interesting philosophy. I mean, none of the Republicans agreed with this. It's definitely a dividing issue between Republicans and Democrats. I did hear from a constituent in the 17th that is one of those individuals who I know extremely well, who has given $15 million to Peace Health, and there's a wing named after him. And he said, Paul, why would I continue to give money to great organizations? I give a lot of money away, philanthropic. Why would I continue when you're going to take it all? I just think it's really an interesting paradigm we're doing. This is a great guy that contributed millions into the Vancouver community, and it's basically saying, hey, if you do this, one, I probably won't stay, and two, I certainly won't continue to give the money I've been given.
Well, isn't part of this a saying I heard a long time ago, the best tax is the one I don't have to pay? Which is why we see tobacco taxes, liquor taxes. I can go on, lotteries. I mean, that's really, when you get down to the essence of it, why some of these get sold and get purchased, by the way, by voters time and again. I probably have purchased a few of them, maybe especially in the tobacco tax end of it. The best tax, it's great to be able to get a tax initiated that I don't have to pay.
Yeah, I think there's a larger issue here, honestly. So in the last 4 years, our state budget has increased 37%. 37% in the last 4 years. This growth far exceeds our population, our inflation, our personal income. And I think it's just, we're just trying to do too much. And we're placing it upon the burdens of individuals and businesses and a variety of people. The governor also said yesterday he would not take money out of the rainy day fund. We are one of four states that doesn't have more than 10% in a rainy day fund. We've got to get our spending in control.
So
it's just that simple.
Yeah, when you say we try to do too much, are there things that you see that you would go, as a state government, we should pull back from?
I voted for the transportation package, which is the only, but it has the Hood River Bridge in it.
Right.
It had the White Salmon Bridge. It has the Slough Bridge, which I lobbied for hard, that comes out of Camas. So I voted for that. We need to start looking at our budgets and going through them and keep education as our paramount duty. We're just doing a lot of things. We're spreading the peanut butter way too thin and getting involved in things that we really shouldn't get involved in.
I want to ask you, though, because I saw this come across my desk, and I did not realize it had not been in some of these, but this was at the committee level is where I saw this.
Okay.
And that is I sent along a note to your folks. I'm not sure if it got to you or not, so I hope I'm not catching you off guard here, because this is on the House side. But the Columbia River Gorge Commission. Yep. Okay.
Yep.
Good. You got the message or knew this already, or both.
Got the message.
Okay.
Yep.
Where does Washington's, where does that stand in these budgets as they came out of the session?
It was completely, there was nothing put in the House budget for the Columbia Gorge Commission, and there was $4.5 million put in the Senate budget for the Gorge Commission.
For the $4.5 million, I mean, I can admit I'm not familiar with the Gorge Commission, how much they get a year from each state.
That is, That is a slight reduction. Mm-hmm. Let me look at it. It's a little less, but I'll be honest with you. This will be an interesting. No, it's it's 1 million less than what they normally got.
So it's a reduction, but it's there.
It's a reduction, but it is there.
Right. Do you think it will get through? I know people have polarizing opinions on this, on the Gorge Commission, one way or the other. But there is a reality that you can defund a Gorge Commission. I don't think politics. I think this was more about, it sounds to me like, just budget decisions. But the act doesn't go away. So how do you think this comes out when we get to a negotiation point between the chambers?
I believe it will be funded somewhat. I don't know to what extent. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I had received negative emails on the Gorge Commission up till yesterday. Probably about 40.
Mm-hmm.
And last night I got form emails, which means they're all identical, and I got about 80 of them in favor of it.
Mm-hmm. That would have been...
So you're right.
I'm sorry, the guy was saying that probably came from an organization. Well, the Friends of the Gorge put out an email. I know when the House Appropriations Committee, that usually does it. That happens all ends, all political parts of the spectrum, all organizations. It's nothing wrong or new about it. and then you get them. That's the way it works. I guess.
No.
For yourself on this. What would you like to see as the outcome on this budget discussion for the Gorge Commission?
I would love for us to sit down and figure out what is needed in the Gorge Commission and fund it. Do they need $4.5 million? I honestly don't know. I know they need more than zero. So I know because we sent a letter. At least the 17th did, to the governor, and the governor actually called Kevin, because Kevin Waters sits on one of the committees, and talked to Kevin about that, and I believe the governor will fund it. I just don't know to what extent, and I believe there'll be some strings attached to it, as there should be.
And I believe, by the way, we probably should point out here at this point, under the compact, Oregon and Washington are to provide matching contributions. So if Washington suddenly goes away, the Oregon money goes away.
It's kind of like the bridge money.
Exactly.
We get 50. we're partners.
Absolutely on that. So I guess when I look at this is, there is a reality whether you like the Gorge Commission or not, or the scenic area, and this is an old argument around here that dates back my entire time of working in this area, which is longer than I care to admit at this point. But the reality is the act is there. It's an act of Congress. And that office does play a role in at least helping people go through what might be maybe too long and too red taped and too regulated a process. But at least the process can be navigated at some point. And if you don't have this, then you throw the burden back on counties, and now there's going to be more costs on the counties that have to try to work their way through this. And it's one of those things you kind of just have to, what the level is, I don't know. I really haven't talked about this subject in a long time. It hasn't come up until now. But, but it seriously seems to me that it has to be funded in some way.
And I would agree. Mm-hmm. And I think you've explained it. Actually, you said exactly what people have said to me. The negative people have said it's overregulated, Paul. It's a cumbersome system. I'm not sure it's helping me. And yet, when I drive in the gorge, it's a beautiful. I want to preserve what we've got. So we need something. Yeah. And so it will get. I believe it will get funded. To what extent? And. That will be what will be interesting, but we will fight for the money. Yes.
Yeah, I just don't think our county planning departments need another burden placed on them, on either side of the river.
No, and you are correct. If cities and counties are underfunded right now, and that's a critical issue also. Yeah.
You mentioned the bridge. Usually I try to get to a little bit late earlier than this, but we're at the end of the time here. But Interstate Bridge, you mentioned in the transportation package. What's in it?
Well, I've been paying more attention, honestly, to the Hood River Bridge.
That's the bridge I meant. I'm sorry. We use Interstate Bridge around here, too, for the nomenclature.
God, so, yeah,
we say that also. So the Hood River White Salmon Bridge. Right. I apologize. I confused you.
No, yeah, because I'm on the I-5 Bridge Commission, too. So Senator King and myself worked really hard. It is in that package. It was not in the House package. It's in the Senate package. So we will work to make sure that that is included. And I'll be honest, I worked extremely hard on the Kama-Slough Bridge, which is in the Senate package. And now it's negotiation time.
And that's where
we're going to work hard on those.
That's where we're going to be for a while, it sounds like, is negotiation time here. This is going to be lengthy, it sounds like.
I don't think we're done yet. Could I see overtime? Maybe. It just depends how things, I think when you were saying earlier, how do I think this is going to go? I think in the next couple days we'll know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, I mean, if people are really going to come to the table and we're all going to sit around and figure this out. If not, if everybody goes into their corner for a little while, I hope they don't. Mm-hmm. But let's sit down and talk and figure this out.
One more question that just came to my mind here on this is, we keep mentioning again, is Democrat majorities in both chambers and a Democrat governor, and they're at odds right now. So where do Republicans enter into all this? You know, where does your party enter into where they become a bigger part, maybe, of this negotiation than they might be at the outset?
Well, on the I look at it as the transportation need a supermajority. It's a bond vote, so they needed a couple of us to vote. I'm on the transportation committee. I went to Senator Elias and says, I really need the Hood River Bridge, and I really need the Slough Bridge. And he says, I really need your vote, Paul. I said, well, let's work this out. And that's how it works. And, I mean, I think those, especially in transportation, we have huge needs right now. But the same thing on the budget. I mean, if they're going to make some radical changes, they will, and certainly going to affect bonding or anything, they need some of our votes, and we all sit down and do, hopefully, I believe we do, what is best for our state and what's best for the people.
Paul Harris, Washington State Senator, 17th District. Paul, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.